Yeah, I knew this was going to happen because everything bad happens to us. And I cannot believe that anyone would think that anything good would ever happen here, because it wouldn't, because everything is terrible.
Okay, Joe. No wonder nobody wants to come stay at your house.
Oh, Dawson, look, there's your mom.
Back to you, Bob.
And welcome to Back to You, Baba Dawson's Creek podcast. We're your hosts, Christina and Micah, and this is episode 312, Weekend in the Country, which originally aired on January 19th, 2000.
I have nothing to say about January 19th, 2000. I already talked about Y2K.
I know. This is the time in the year that kind of flies by. Like, right after the holidays, leading into February goes in a blink, and then, like, February, March drag for me.
I would say January and February are like my two most depressed months of the year, especially on the East Coast. It's just the holidays weather. Are over. It's not spring, weather, cold, nothing. Like, no school vacations, no days off. So this show is probably like all I had to cling to. The show kept me alive.
Well, this is a phenomenal episode.
Well, what are we drinking?
We are drinking the B&B, which is equal parts brandy and Benedictine liqueur. It says 1.5 ounces. I mean, measure with your heart. It's kind of like a herbaceous liquor forward situation. It's good.
Yum. Brandy's just one of those things I never think about. But anyway.
Brandy and cognac, I didn't get into them until like the last year.
You're growing. You're basically Dawson. You're taking your Spielberg posters off the wall.
I am.
Like in last episode. It was a callback.
I don't know if you guys are familiar with the device of a callback. All right, tell us what it's about.
So this is episode 312, A Weekend in the Country. And it opens at the Potter Bed and Breakfast, where Dawson, Pacey, and Joey are watching The Big Chill. Joey is freaking out because the bed and breakfast is now open for business and they do not have a single patron lined up. They've invested every penny they have into this. And with Pacey's help, she got the police auxiliary unit to help finish the build. But now she's realizing maybe it was a stupid dream. Later, Bessie is rejected for a loan at the bank, but they advise her that she could always take out a mortgage on the house. This infuriates Joey. The house is the last thing they have of their mom's, and Joey doesn't want to risk losing it. But Bessie says she has no choice. You know, with Bodie off working, she's raising Joey and Alexander all by herself, and now she might have a failing business on her hands. She has to do what she has to do. Pacey enters with a plan. He contacted one of the biggest travel critics on the East Coast, and his name is Mr. Fred Frick. Pacey's convinced him to come to Capeside and give the B&B a review. This could be really great for business. Joey says that Mr. Frick can't come. They have an empty B&B. They have no guests. That's when Pacey brings in Jen and Grams, who will share a room for the weekend, Jack and Andy, who will share a room for the weekend, and Mitch and Gail, who will also share a room. And they'll all pose as happy, very satisfied customers. Joey and Dawson are both mad at Pacey for this. Dawson doesn't like that Pacey has asked his parents to come and play a happy married couple in front of him, and Joey says that they're just not ready to have someone like Fred Frick here. If he puts out a negative review, it could be crippling for their business. And now she has this added pressure of the mortgage and they could lose their house. Unfortunately, Mr. Frick is already in the doorway and it's too late to cancel him. So things with Mr. Frick are a disaster. There's no heat in the house. He doesn't like that there's no bathroom in his room. The toilet explodes. The furnace blows up. In general, things are a disaster and he is not impressed. Pacey begins to feel guilty and he sees this as another thing he has destroyed. Everything that he touches and gets involved with seems to go to hell. But Mitch gets Pacey to see that anyone who has Pacey in their life is lucky, because Pacey will go to any lengths to help the people he cares about. Pacey should focus on what he's contributed to Joey and Bessie, not what has gone wrong. But Mitch does ask Pacey why he cares so much. Later, with the heat out, they all build a fire and gather around and talk about memories, because Grams, who started the fire, mentions that burning cedar in the fire always reminds her of her late husband. Dawson says that smell is the strongest recall. So they all go around to talk about their favorite smell and what memory it brings back for them. Grams talks about her late husband again, and she says, you know, the true test of love is when you can stay up all night and watch someone sleep by the fire, just like she and Grams did all those nights. And Joey, meanwhile, talks about how her smell is bacon, because it reminds her of her mom and how she used to cook breakfast for them every Sunday. Having a B&B was her mother's dream, and it always reminds her of that. So Mr. Frick, meanwhile, has overheard everything and realizes that they all know each other and they're trying to con him into thinking that they're much more successful than they are. Joey accepts defeat and confirms the truth for him. The next morning, everyone wakes Joey up to the smell of bacon and breakfast, and they have a big chill-inspired dance kitchen scene. And Mr. Frick says the heater may be out, but he's never stayed in a warmer place. He loves the Potter B&B. Joey, who tries the food, is really shocked at how good it is, and she realizes something else is going on. And she turns around to find that Odie has returned from his job and is finally back in Capeside. He's going to be the cook for the B&B. Bessie pulls Joey aside and tells her that the story Joey told last night reminded her of their mother's dream. And Joey's right. They're not going to take a mortgage out in the house. She presents Joey with their mother's guest book. Mr. Frick has had such a good time, he's going to write the bed and breakfast an amazing review. Dawson thanks Pacey for being there for Joey the last few months, and he thinks what Pacey's done for the Potters is above and beyond. Pacey jokes that anytime Dawson wants to jump back in and take care of Joey, he's more than happy to step aside. Joey is a handful. As he said, Dawson is really upset to learn that Mitch and Gail will be posing as a happy married couple this weekend. But when he confronts Pacey, he learns that Pacey only asked Mitch to come this weekend. It was Mitch's idea to bring Gail. Dawson lashes out at his parents and says they're playing games with him. And when Mitch gets Dawson alone, he tells him that his mom is having a lot of trouble adjusting since she lost her job in Philadelphia. Gail's career is such a big part of her identity and her personality that he's worried about Gail and thinks she needs a friend right now. That's all this is. When Dawson talks to Gail about the situation with Mitch, she says things are really confusing with Mitch right now. They're friends and she cares about him and they want to be together, but they know they're better off apart. This reminds Dawson of him and Joey, and he understands his parents a little more now. Mitch tells Gail that when they were talking about memories in front of the fire, Mitch realized that it was actually Gail's dream to start a business all of those years ago, and when she got involved with journalism, it kind of fell out. But he gives her some addresses because he scoped out some good pieces of real estate that might be a match for her. So Andy, meanwhile, asks Jack if he's ever considered moving home. Their dad is really missing him in the house, and she encourages them to make up, but Jack refuses. At the B&B, Andy makes cracks at him, saying, you know, are we even going to be able to pass his brother and sister this weekend? We haven't lived like that in a long time. She's really offended and upset that Jack will not move home. But Jack just is still upset about his dad, and he doesn't want to give him the satisfaction of moving home. When the furnace goes out, Jack and Andy run home to Graham's house for blankets and a space heater, and Andy is really triggered to see all the ways in which Jack has fallen into lockstep at Jen and Graham's. You know, he has his own milk, he has his own coffee mug. Andy breaks down and says that Jack is really lucky because he has a family and a home. And that's really something they don't have at their house. Jack realizes in this moment that it's not his dad that wants him to move home. It's Andy. Jack later tells Grams and Jen that they gave him a home when he needed it the most. And now he needs to move out and give that to Andy. So now that Henry has successfully convinced Jen that maybe she was too hasty in writing him off, he presents her with the option of a date. But she's still not sure whether she should say yes. Later, we find out the reason Jen is so hesitant is because Henry has no idea about her past. And whenever she tells people about her past, like Dawson, they run. When she talks about it with Dawson, Dawson realizes that he was wrong for doing that to Jen. With this knowledge, Jen tells Henry all about her past, and he tells her that none of that matters. He's not intimidated, he's not scared, and he doesn't think any differently of her. She's blown away by Henry. He's different than any guy she's ever met. At the end of the episode, we see Pacey watching Joey sleep by the fire, just like Grams and Gramps, revealing the reason Pacey has done all of this is because he loves Joey. And that is episode 312, Weekend in the Country.
Bum, bum, bum.
What a twist.
Also, the critic's name is Fricky. You said Frick.
It's Fred Fricky, not Fred Frick. I'm such a stupid idiot.
But it made me think of like, what the frick? I really liked it, so I didn't correct you.
It's because in my notes, it's just F-R-I-C-K-E.
Yeah,
I should have put EY.
Oh, well.
Frickin'. What an episode. Fricky. What a frickin' episode. What a frickin' episode.
It's so good. I love this episode. And it was written by Jeffrey Stepakoff, who was last with us for episode 304, Home Movies.
Now, what was going on in that one? That's the one with the flashbacks of the football. Mitch and Dawson were fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Anywho, who directed it?
It was directed by Michael Cadelman, who is quite the little director. He started directing in the early 90s with China Beach, Quantum Leap, Beverly Hills 90210, The X-Files. He went on to do his rounds in the WB shows with this episode of Dawson's, Gilmore Girls, Everwood, Smallville, and he's still working today. He is a writer, producer, director. Most recently, he worked on FBI International, which is a show that he writes, produces, and has directed.
I haven't heard the name China Beach in a minute.
I know. That was his first credit. And I was like, huh, completely forgot about China Beach.
Wow. Well, it was a great episode. I mean, what is there to say?
Yeah, such a good episode.
Well, who's going to get your guest cast shout out?
I think this week we have to give the guest cast shout out to Obi and Defo playing Bodhi. We've given it to him before, but Bodhi comes back this episode. And unfortunately, Obi passed away at the end of August. So it just feels really fitting that the guest cast shout out should go to him.
Yeah, it felt really fitting and weird that he had just passed away. And we just got to this episode. And like you said, we've been waiting for him to come back for so long. And it was like really nice to see him and just knowing what had happened. We had to give it to him again because we love him.
And I just wanted to touch quickly on his sister has been speaking out about how he died, which was after a long-standing battle with orthorexia, which is an eating disorder much like anorexia. But orthorexia, you have an obsession with healthy eating to the point that if there's not a healthy option available, you just won't eat. So he had heart issues and body issues and all sorts of issues. And the only reason I bring it up is because she's speaking out against it now because she feels like it's really important for people to be aware that this is something that affects people and she wants people to get care if they're going through something like this. So just wanted to say it.
I saw his sister's initial post just announcing his passing and saying that she was glad that he was at peace, but I had not seen any of these subsequent posts about orthorexia. So glad he brought that to our attention. We will be watching Bodhi with a heavy heart henceforth.
We will, but still with joy. He still brings me so much joy.
So much joy. Well, that's a great guest cast shout out and very fitting.
Thanks.
How about music moments?
Music moment. Do you have anything?
I like the scene when Jack, Jen, and Graham's hug and he says he's going to move out. It's Pancho's Lament, Promise Me This. And that I do remember. Like I had that on my Winamp. Like I played it a lot. I had it.
I'll have to check it out. My two songs are two that I don't tie to this, but are so freaking good. Both Sides Now by Joni Mitchell, which is my favorite Joni Mitchell song, which pops up in like every emotional scene. You'll know it from Love Actually when Emma Thompson gets the CD, realizes that she's being cheated on and cries in her room. And I don't know if you remember the movie Life as a House or if you ever saw it.
Excuse me, ma'am. It was one of my favorite movies growing up.
Me too. It's such a good movie.
Guster.
Oh my God. Opens with Guster, but there's a very beautiful scene with shots of the house and the sunset. And this Joni Mitchell song is playing as well. So good.
I'm going to watch that this weekend. I really need to cry.
Oh my gosh. It'll do it. It'll do the trick. It's such a good movie. The other music moment that I love is obviously Ain't Too Proud to Beg by The Temptations, which is a direct point to The Big Chill, which I love The Big Chill. It's a movie that I had never seen. And then a couple years ago, my dad was like, you've never seen The Big Chill. You have to watch it. So we sat down and watched it together. And it's just a great movie. And they did a great job paying homage in this breakfast scene.
The Big Chill is great. If you haven't seen it, it's a classic.
And the cast, it's like jam-packed with stars.
Is one of them Kevin Kline?
One of them is Kevin Kline, and he looks good.
Yeah.
1983, Jeff Goldblum, Glenn Close.
Iconic.
It's great. All right, past, first, present. You have anything?
I mean, I'm sure the scene, the fireplace scene where they're all talking about smells hits me a little harder now, just being older, being more nostalgic. But I think that's about it. How about you?
Not really. The only thing that struck me, which is a really dumb thing, is like there's scenes where towards the end of the episode, Jen and Henry are talking outside and something about it felt so nostalgic to me. And it gave me this warm, fuzzy feeling of like two people sitting outside getting to know each other. And it made me think like high school and college, I feel like I was always sitting outside and like having deep conversations. And that's something that I never do anymore. And I was like, is this a like a shared space thing? Like you have a family that you're trying to get away from or roommates that you, like you don't have like your own space to like connect with people. So you do it outside. I don't know. But something about that, I was like, oh my God, remember like sitting outside and having like long, deep conversations? I miss it.
Not really.
You don't?
No.
Ugh. It was such a big part of my life, I feel like.
What'd you talk about?
Tons of stuff. Whatever. Everything and anything.
I feel like we had our deep talks on AIM. Like whenever I quote unquote like someone, I always had to tell them a name. Can you meet me on AIM at 8 o'clock?
Interesting.
So let's open this sucker up.
Open it up. Loved also this something about this first scene where they're watching the movie and they're all hanging out. something about that was so nostalgic to me. Like, just like a very innocent.
Chilling. Yeah.
Yeah. Just hanging out. Just like so comfortable with your friends, watching a movie. Loved it.
1000%. And Pacey has popcorn all over him, which is so real. And it was just such a little detail that was so funny and so good. But the Joey spiraling, there's no guests. The only calls they get are telemarketers. The only guests they get at the front door are, what do you even call those people? The religious.
They're like missionaries, like LDS.
Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
And they're coming late at night. I'd be like, ma'am, sir, get out of here.
Now, this is January 19th.
Oh, that's true. It could be dark at 4:30.
Perhaps it's 4 p.m.
Solid point. Solid point.
Well, as someone who has seasonal depression, you know.
Gosh, that's where we're headed. That is awful.
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay.
And this year can't be any worse than last.
Oh, God, so, don't say it.
At least we're just moving forward. Okay, so I didn't have Henry's exact red puffy vest, but I had one very similar. I actually think I had the one that Eddie has in season 5 and 6. But anyway, red vest brought me back.
But you were just sitting wearing it on your computer while you were talking to people on AIM and not outside.
Yeah. Well, at that point, I was in college, so, you know.
Mm.
But still on AIM.
He's, again, very cute in this episode. He said he was doing some work at a fancy restaurant. And Jen was like, that's my favorite restaurant. I hope they're paying you well. And he said, they did. I got a free dinner. And I want to take you there. I think that's cute.
It is cute. I wish they made an entree new just to like keep it canon.
Oh my God.
You know, that's like the fancy French restaurant that Miss Kennedy, Gail,
Joey and Jen Dawson and
all ended up at. But Jen's doing her weird thing again. I didn't say yes. I don't want to be asked. Ask me. I don't want to.
She's really annoying with him.
Yeah.
She's like, I didn't say yes, but I didn't say no. What are you saying?
And this storyline only has 3 beats. So we could probably just talk about it all now.
Sure.
We learn later, she tells Dawson that she's never told someone about her past and had it gone well. You know, we've seen her tell Dawson. We've seen her tell Ty. And they always think differently about her. And we realize this is why she kind of wants to keep distance between her and Henry. This is what's keeping her from taking the next step. And Dawson says to her, you know, I was an idiot. I was so wrong for that. So with this revelation, with this realization, she tells Henry, and she's expecting him to think differently about her, and he does not. And she says, you're special.
You know what? You're special, kid.
But I will say, Dawson and Ty are a low bar.
Very. That's what I'm saying. You're not special. You're just not an idiot or an asshole.
It's the bar's on the ground. So you just have to step over it. And, you know.
And he did. And then they sat outside for hours and talked. During the montage, they're sitting on the dock. It's very, very cute.
You know what I really liked about this episode? It was just everyone had just had like a really good emotional arc. Like Andy's storylines have been so ridiculous this season with the play and with the detention, you know?
Yeah.
She was like the student disciplinarian. And this, she just had like a really good emotional, everyone had a really good arc and a good story and everything made sense. And
they're all together, which in my mind, the last episode where they were kind of like all together in this emotional, like cute friend way was Thanksgiving, but it's not.
Yeah.
Andy has an iBook, just like AJ.
She has an iBook and apparently she doesn't know how to do any graphic design, which I don't buy. That's not canon.
No. Andy knows how to do everything.
Andy McPhee would be a whiz. Yeah.
She would have read 7 books about how to do it if she needed to.
Unless she's playing dumb to get Jack to talk to her because they haven't been talking much.
Solid point.
Let's go with that. She's trying to make posters for the school play and they're like upside down. And every word's a different font.
She says, it's a style choice. And he said, well, it's a bold style choice. Everything's upside down.
And she broaches the topic of him moving home because the dad wants him to move home. And he's like, no, no.
He's like, I don't care what he wants. I'm not doing it. Bessie and Joey go to the bank and see what can be done because the Airbnb is, the B&B, as we discussed, is not doing well. And they suggest they take a mortgage out on the house.
Which, like, I don't really understand what that means. But it sounds really bad.
I think Joey is with you because Joey loses her freaking mind at the idea of a mortgage. So basically, the house is paid off.
Right.
They owe no money on the house. So all they're paying on the house is taxes, probably.
Mm-hmm.
So they will take a mortgage on the house, which means they're taking a loan, but the collateral is the house. So if they can't pay off the loan, they'll get whatever, $100,000, $200,000, whatever it is. and they'll have to pay it back with interest monthly. But if they don't do that, they'll lose the house. But it's like, really, in theory, they only need this money in the short term, and then their business will be booming.
But that's the fear, right? The business might not boom.
Of course. That's the fear.
Joey's worried that they made a huge mistake. They took the fire insurance money from the ice house and they put it all towards this B&B.
Yes.
Well, Joey's pissed. And Bessie's like, you're a child. I have to take care of my child. I have to do what I have to do. And I just had to go ask some bitch from high school for a loan. And she told me no. Okay. I mean, team Bessie.
Honestly, team Bessie. And Joey's like, oh, I'm sorry that you have to take care of me and Alexander. And it's like, yeah, I mean, she's happy to do it, Joe, but lay off.
Have I ever not been team Bessie in anything? I don't think so. Bessie's Creek, coming when? Coming when? But you know, we learned in this episode, she's 10 years older than Joey, so she's 26.
Oh, there you go.
At some point, she's like, did you think I thought I'd be here at 26? My husband's not here. I have a baby. I have a failing business. My mom's dead. My dad's a drug dealer.
Dad's in jail.
My dad blew up our restaurant.
My sister's a bitch.
We have a couch in the front lawn.
I don't know how to cook pancakes.
We can't afford a motor for the boat.
We have no heat.
My hair is a mess. I can't afford a mirror.
She does have a cute sweater, though. I have to say, Bessie's sweater in this episode, the pink one, I loved it.
Yeah, her style's a little like Lisa Loeb. I don't know, for me.
Lisa Loeb, what a pull. What, have you seen Lisa Loeb out on the streets besides that one music video?
It's just a little quirky 90s for me. I don't know.
Well, I loved her one sweater.
I guess so. I think she probably listens to Lisa Loeb, I should say.
Okay. When I picture Lisa Loeb, I just picture Jess from New Girl. Like a thick-rimmed glasses, round hair lady.
Yeah. Pacey enters. He has a plan. Fred Fricky is coming. Frederick Fricky.
Fred Fricky from Bed and Breakfast Quarterly, which is hilarious. What a publication.
In B&B World. He writes for the New York Times travel section.
I'm Fred Fricky from Bed and Breakfast Quarterly.
And Joey's not happy. Shocker.
Joey is miserable this episode. She's miserable. She is the most negative person on the face of the planet. Yeah, I knew this was going to happen because everything bad happens to us. And I cannot believe that anyone would think that anything good would ever happen here. Because it wouldn't. Because everything is terrible. Okay, Joe. No wonder nobody wants to come stay at your house.
So we went to like a family camp thing this week. It's like Dirty Dancing. You go and there's like a cabin and there's a main lodge and all these things. It's on a lake. And all the gung girls reminded, all the teen girls, I should say, reminded me of Joey because that style, you know, the style is bad.
Yeah.
So like they all had jean shorts. They all had those like tops and it was just, and some of them had like dress shirts over the, you know, like tied at the waist. And also with like the water right there, I was having very Dawson's Creek-y. I was like, that's Joey Potter. That's Joey Potter. They're all Joey Potter.
They were like, why is this man staring at me?
But they're all also like miserable and angsty and like, you know, so that's basically Mitch for a week or whoever. As Graham is basically for a week.
Josephine.
Something that we didn't talk about last episode, which I really wanted to, just segue, side note rather. When Joey brought Dawson the Imagine poster, and she said, when we were little, we used to listen to the Beatles on the front porch, and Grams used to yell at us and say, turn that hippie music off.
Yeah.
Okay. So doing the math, Grams is like, what, in her 60s?
Sure.
At the latest. The Beatles were out in the 60s, 70s. So Grams was like in her 20s and 30s when the Beatles were out. There's no way she would be yelling when John Lennon's playing, turn that hippie music off.
You think she'd be into it?
I mean, she would at least know the Beatles and know that they're not like hippie music.
She wasn't 60 in the 70s. She's just perpetually 60.
It's not like the Beatles were like, you know, Led Zeppelin or like heavy metal rock, or the Beatles weren't doing drugs. I mean, they were, but like, you know, they were seen as wholesome. Okay. Joey and Dawson, coming at PC. How dare you? How dare you try to help us? How dare you ask Mitch and Gail to pose as a married couple?
And he's like, I didn't. I asked Mitch to help. And it was Mitch's idea to bring Gail. And like, I get it, I guess. Maybe it's triggering to see your parents together, but he's going to see his parents together all the time. He sees his parents together all the time. It's not like they have this tumultuous relationship where they are never in the same room together. Like, I need Dawson to get over it.
I'm just so over him making everything about him. And you know, I like Dawson, but enough's enough.
I was going to say, usually that's my stance.
I have numerous comments on the bed and breakfast decor. Okay. that wood panel that goes across the middle of the room, like the middle of the wall, and then like the half, upper half is wallpapered and the lower half is paint.
Mm-hmm.
Chef's kiss? Let's bring it back.
Mm-hmm.
Wallpaper is kind of back. It's having a moment.
It is.
Secondly, in Mitch and Gail's room, all those candles that are like hanging on the wall. Did you notice those?
I didn't. Sconces, candle sconces.
I don't even know what they are. They're just candles that are like held together by a wick and they're just like draped around the room.
Oh, like where it's like before the wick is cut, like one on each side. Yeah. No, I didn't notice.
How did you not notice?
They're everywhere.
Dawson basically says, you're both stupid and you don't know what you want. And I'm sick of it. Blah, blah, blah. Same thing with him. Okay.
It's always the same.
Fred Fricky hates it here. He's like, where's my ensuite commode? And Joey's like, excuse me? And he's like, where's the bathroom? She says it's down the hall. It's communal. He doesn't like that. There's no heat. He's freezing. This man is freezing.
You know, I think it's fair. I would assume there would be heat in the winter at a bed and breakfast.
I've never stayed at a bed and breakfast, but it would bother me if I didn't have a bathroom in my room.
Me too. I was going to ask you about that. I know that these communal situations exist, especially in a bed and breakfast situation, but I'm not into it.
No, I'm a freaky on this one. Mitch basically tells Dawson, look, I still care about your mom. We're friends. She's going through a hard time. What you're seeing is not romantic. I'm trying to be there for your mom because we're friends. Dawson's like, oh, I didn't think about it that way. And Mitch is like, yeah, you're a moron, loser.
Yeah, Dawson's really a tough pill to swallow in this episode.
I will say, I do think that Potter's being, like, they've had a glow up style, the decor.
I love it. And I'm with you. There's something about bottom wall paneling, top wall wallpaper that I love. And especially if that rail has some pegs in it for hanging a backpack, hanging a hat. I'm all in on that.
All in.
All in.
It's chaos. The furnace is broken. The heat's not working. Well, those are the same thing. The furnace is broken. The toilet's exploded. Everything's going wrong.
It's not great. Things aren't going well. It's not an ideal time to have a writer from the New York Times being your first guest.
And it causes a lot of tension between Bessie and Joey. And Joey's just like, look, I have no vote in this family because I'm not an adult. And you play that kid parent card with me. But then you expect me to have all these, you know, responsibilities. And Joey's sick of it.
She's sick of it. She is the most stressed teenager I've ever come across, to be honest.
Maybe that's why she's so miserable. You just attacked her for being miserable.
Yeah, being stressed is a big part of it.
Can we just talk about like Bessie flirting with Fred Fricky? She places her hand on his knee.
She's got bills to pay.
Bessie will do anything for that review. No, I respect it. I do it.
She's like, it's either this or it's a mortgage. I don't know what to tell you. Bodie's been gone for a while. Fred Fricky's looking good.
And Joey's like, and flirting's going to help it. And Bessie's like, girl, YOLO.
Get over it, Josephine.
To quote Andy McPhee, you do what you got to do.
You do what you got to do. Then we go to the best scene with Casey and Mitch.
The best scene. All I could think about in this scene was, this is Pacey, right? This is like new Pacey.
Mm-hmm.
This scene encompasses the new tone of the show.
It's great.
Like Pacey's a lead now. He's going to be like the leading man. I love Mitch and Pacey scenes.
And it's just so, I feel like we touched on this a little bit in season two, but it's so nice to see them together because Pacey has such a fraught relationship with his dad. And Mitch, obviously, it goes back and forth with Dawson, but we're coming off the scene with Dawson where Dawson is just like really on Mitch and it's not a good father-son moment. And then we're redeemed in this moment with Pacey and Mitch. It's just so cute.
Yeah. And Pacey's just so upset because he says he has the opposite of a Midas touch. Everything he touched goes to garbage, basically. And Mitch says, that's not true. Focus on the positive things, the ways you've helped the Potters. And then Mitch asks Pacey, why do you care so much?
He's like, look at everything you've done. You've done so much. Look at all the good that you've done. You've put in so much selfless work, but you need to ask yourself one question. Why do you care? And we're left hanging in that moment with Pacey. He doesn't know, and we don't know.
Until the end, when we find it all out.
Then we go to a nice little moment with Dawson and Gail, where she kind of says, we love each other. Your father and I love each other. We're just not meant to be. And sometimes that's a hard pill to swallow. And sometimes it takes a while to come to that realization. And we're still friends. And you should know that better than anybody. And he's like, what are you talking about? She's like, look at you and Joey. And I liked that turn. for him to finally be like, oh, okay, you're not yanking my chain. You really are going through it.
Yeah. And I think that's like it's an important theme of the entire show. And Pacey says it a few times, but he most recently said it in Thanksgiving to Jen, when he's like, part of growing up is realizing, you know, like, your parents are people too. They could be more messed up than we are. Like, coming of age is also realizing your parents aren't perfect. They're real human beings just like you. They go through all these things. So it's a big theme on the show. Each kid kind of realizes their parents are flawed. And, you know, Andy realized it about her dad, and Pacey knew it about his dad. Dawson's learning about his parents. Jen learned it about her mom. Yeah. I think Dawson finally gets Mitch and Gail's relationship because he realizes it's him and Joey.
100%.
I really loved the Andy Jack Graham's house scene.
Yeah. It's something that we've talked about a lot this season, how cute the dynamic is with Graham's, Jack, and Jen. And we've noticed it in like the first few episodes of them together, where they're having their different milk and whatever. And then they highlight all of that in this one scene, and Andy kind of gets to see it all the way that we've been viewing it as an audience. I don't know. It's very cute.
Yeah. She sees on the refrigerator, the grocery list, and she sees that they need more Jack milk, which is whole milk, because Graham's drinks skim and Jen likes 2%. And Jack has his own coffee mug with his name on it. And Andy says like, oh, I guess this is what families do. You know, they each have their favorite milk and they each have inside jokes. And it's so sad. Andy must be so lonely in that big house with that dad who sucks. And her mom isn't in the house anymore, right? Because they took the mom away, right?
I think we're to believe that, yeah, that Andy is there and the dad is there sometimes, but not other times. And she does a really good job of she says those words to him, but not in really a guilting way. And she has little tears in her eyes, and it's very earnest. I don't know. It's cute.
It's definitely the best Andy episode in a long time, because they finally gave her something with like some emotional heft.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't, it was in character. Like, the last few times she had a good episode, it was like, what's happening?
Yeah.
Like, when she accused Rob, or like, did she accuse Rob, or did, you know, like, that was all weird.
Mm-hmm.
And this was just a good little McPhee episode. I really enjoyed it.
Agreed.
And he says, it's not Dad who wants me back, it's you.
Yeah, it's a big realization for Jack. Huge.
And of course she's lonely.
Of course. Absolutely. And you know, when he needed to go live with Jen and Graham's, like, he really didn't have another choice at the time. There was no one for him. Like, he was off floating on his own, and they embraced him and took him in. But now he has a little family and she just wants him back. It took him a while to realize that.
Let's talk about the smells scene.
Love the smell scene. Also, it starts with Graham's. I just love Graham's and everything she says in her little accent with her little like Graham's tone. You'll never get it started with the hickory on the bottom. That's how the scene starts.
Yeah.
Three men trying to build a fire. And she's like, it has to be. She tells them the order of the woods have to be, because some woods are harder and some woods are softer. And in order for it to burn, the hickory needs to be on top. So she comes in and takes control.
Hickory is a glorious wood, but it's a hard wood. It'll never burn on its own.
And then she says, hickory in the hearth smells like 46 years of my life.
And the guys, it's Jack, Pacey, Dawson, Mitch trying to start the fire. They can't. And when Graham's is like, give me a shot, they all kind of look at each other like, oh, okay. And then she starts it and everyone's happy.
She talks about how every night her and her husband would sit around the fire and they would read together, or he would read to her, and almost always he would fall asleep with the book in his lap, and she would just sit there by the fire and watch him sleep.
And that's what real love is,
just sitting there and watching someone sleep. That's how you know it's true love. And then Gail's like, I'll go. Nobody asked.
Dawson says, you know, smell is the most important, you know, recall. And Gail says, vanilla. And Mitch is like, still?
Yeah, that was so cute.
It's very cute.
So Mitch used to work at a fish restaurant, and he would soak his hands in vanilla before he came home because it would get rid of the fish smell, which I wonder if that works, because fish smell, like fish, garlic, onions, all that's really hard to get out. I never thought about vanilla. And she's like, yeah, every time I smell vanilla, that's what I think of. And then Dawson says, I can't even pronounce or remember the name of the chemical, but it's the chemical that's used to develop film.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, okay, Dawson, whatever. I feel like it has to be a smell that is so tied to a memory, but whatever.
I just, when he was going on and on about like the film and the film canister, I was just, for some reason, I was like, if I were Mitch and Gail, I'd be so embarrassed. Child going on and on about this. Oh my God.
You're like, really? That's the one that you love and it feels so emotionally connected to?
I would be like, my kid's such a dork. Shut up. Where did I go wrong?
Well, Jen says mothballs. She says mothballs because she used to hide in the costume closet at school to, like, get away from people. Jack says, like, kickaboo juice or something like that.
Yeah.
Which was just grape icy at summer camp. Pacey says snow. Joshua Jackson is just such a good actor. I know that this is so dumb, but when he's like, this might be corny, but, like, do you think you can smell snow? Something about that, I was like, I love him.
Yeah. Do you think you can smell snow?
I do.
I do, too. He basically says it's his first memory, and I think that's because, like, his family life is so bad, he doesn't have a lot of good memories, so his first memory is the best one. Kind of all downhill from there, which is, I loved Andy's because she said new car smell.
Andy's was cute.
Because the dad always rented new cars when they went on their road trips. Again, back when their family was happy before everything went to hell.
And it made them her think of them all being together and having new experiences. And then Joey's, as you mentioned in the recap, was bacon. She would smell it wafting into her bedroom when she was still asleep because her mom was cooking it.
That's why the B&B is so important, because it was her mom's dream. And her mom's dream was to, you know, she's working at this bar, but she's only working there to get money to have the B&B. And Bessie kind of forgot about that.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. And she kind of tells Mr. Fricky, you know, the jig is up. Yes, this is all a lie. We're a disaster.
But so Mr. Fricky wasn't in the room with them. Are we to think that he was standing there listening, or that he just caught the end of it, or what?
No, I think he heard, because she says, anyway, guys, I'm sorry the weekend's been a disaster. You're the best fake hotel guest anyone could ever have. And so I think Mr. Fricky heard that part.
Got it. And then she realizes that he was standing there.
And so she's like, yes, they're fake. It's a disaster.
Yeah. Sorry, it's been a bad weekend, but my mother would have loved it.
And then she wakes up to the big chill breakfast scene, which is so cute. Everyone is dancing to the Temptations song and cooking breakfast. And it's a direct ripoff of the big chill, but it's super cute.
Very cute. Very, very cute. And Joey got a bed. Joey got her own bed. She has upgraded from the couch. She has a room, and she hears them cooking and dancing in the kitchen.
Yeah.
She's like, what the hell?
So I was trying to count the bedrooms. So Joey has one, Bessie has one, then the three couples and Mr. Frick has one. So it's six bedrooms now.
I guess. Do we think Alexander has one, or he's with Bessie?
I think he's with Bessie.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Anyway, the police auxiliary team really killed it.
They sure did.
And Joey's like, this food is too good. What am I missing?
Well, Mr. Fricky is like, these are the best blueberry pancakes I've had on the Eastern Seaboard or something. And she's like, well, what am I missing? These are delicious, which she references early in the episode. Bessie's pancakes are disgusting, which is a nice little plant. So then it comes back around, and you know, as soon as he says these are the best pancakes, you're like, wait, what?
Yes, the pancake thing was masterfully planted, because when she's freaking out about Fricky coming before he shows up, she's like, Bessie can't cook. This is a disaster. And then also in Bessie and Joey's fight in the middle of the episode, she says, like, Bodhi's gone. It's just me. So they plant both the pancakes and the Bodhi thing very, very well, very masterfully.
Yeah, 100%. And then they all sit down. She takes a bite and they say, let's pay our compliments to the chef. And then they're like, chef, chef, chef. And Bodhi comes around the corner holding little Alexander, who is so freaking cute.
So cute. And Joey and Bodhi are close. So they have a, you know, he was the peacemaker between Joey and Bessie for years. And they have a nice little hug. Bessie apologizes to Joey. She's not going to take a mortgage out on the house. Joey reminded her that this is their mother's dream. Bessie can't believe she forgot. She went up into the attic and found their mom's old guest book that Joey and Bessie both signed in 1989.
So cute. On Christmas Day.
So sad.
There's also something so wonderful, and, like, it just gives me the warm and fuzzies to see a group of people who all, like, friends sitting around a breakfast table in their pajamas eating together, because it's, like, something that you don't often do. It's like a vacation thing. I don't know. It's so cute. I love it.
Yeah. So this Mitch and Gail scene is really interesting, because when the show first started, so basically Mitch is saying, oh, the vanilla thing, I completely forgot. I used to work at a fish house. Our dream used to be to open a fish bistro, Leary's Fresh Fish. But then you kind of got busy with your career. We had Dawson, but it all was your dream. So when the series first started, Mitch was going to open a restaurant called The Kelp, which is like a seafood restaurant. Do you think that's what he's referencing here?
Yeah.
Somewhere along the line, we thought it was my dream, but when it started, it was our dream.
Yeah, I think it was her idea that then turned into their joint dream, that then when her anchor career took off, became Mitch's project, when really it all started with Gail's idea.
And he knows she's a little lost right now career-wise. So he's like, look, there's a few places downtown. Here are the addresses. There's one by the river. Go check it out.
It's very sweet. I really like their dynamic in this episode. They have a good friend thing going on. They're both supporting each other.
Yeah.
I feel like it's rare, or it's been a little bit... Gail has been emotionally floundering in the past, but like this is the first time where she's a little bit lost, like career-wise, everything. She's the less successful one in this moment, which I feel like is a flip. As Dawson's pointed out, Mitch has had his struggles the last few years, but now he has a career. He's living in the house. He's like more solidly planted, and Gail's lost.
Yeah, it's really cute.
It's cute. You know who else is cute?
Pacey.
Pacey's very cute. What's your take on this Dawson Pacey scene? Dawson's saying to Pacey, like, I'm feeling unmoored, basically. He's like, I don't know what's going on. My walls are blank. It feels like everything's topsy-turvy. Thank you for taking care of Joey, because I feel like that's been a piece of the puzzle that's been tricky, and you've been doing a great job. You have been acting weird. You're like not as cynical. That's not the word he uses.
He uses the word glib, and he's basically just like, you've undergone a transformation. I think he says metamorphosis.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was Andy who did it to you, but now you're not together and you're still, you know, Pacey's getting his act together. And Dawson, they've, like you said, topsy-turvy, they've flipped. Like Pacey's on a path. Dawson's path is wide open. And somehow Joey gets brought up and Dawson's like, I'm so glad she has you.
That's really interesting to hear you say that, because obviously it just directly correlates to what I was saying about Mitch and Gail. Like usually Mitch is the one that's floundering and now it's Gail. But it's also true in the Andy and Jack of it all. Like usually Andy is the one who's like so steadfast and like steady and has her stuff together, and it's flipped. Like Jack has, you know, everything and Andy does not.
Oh my God, you're right. Everyone's flipped.
Everyone's flipped. Huh.
Well, what do you know?
Well, what do you know?
And Jen's the one who has to be more vulnerable with Henry. You know, they flipped too.
Yeah.
I'll bet.
True, true.
Very cute, Jack. Graham's Jen scene. I have to go give Andy what you guys gave me. So cute.
Very cute. And they're so supportive of him. And they're like concerned, but understanding. They don't want to lose him, but they know what he has to do. Give him a big hug. It's adorable.
They all have tears in their eyes. It's so sad.
Oh, I love them.
And Graham's is like, go home, Jack.
Do you know who old Greg is? I'm old Greg.
No.
Well, it is ridiculous, but slowly over time our Graham's impression is turning into old Greg. He's like, I drink Baileys out of a shoe. And that's,
oh my gosh,
it'll be funny when you Google it, I promise.
You're right. Jen and Henry were talking at, like, I got the impression, like 7-8 in the morning, and this montage is at night, which we talked about could be like 4 p.m but still, Jen and Henry talked all day.
Yeah, I know. Outside. I'm telling you, you missed out. You didn't even have a childhood.
I didn't. I'll bring it up with my therapist.
And then Pacey comes back inside and finds Josephine asleep on the couch. She has been through a lot.
And he covers her up and he watches her sleep, which means he's in love with her, just like Grams and Gramps.
And then there's the cutest little, it's a montage where they're just kind of showing where everybody's at. There's the cutest little moment of Bodie, Bessie, and Alexander sitting on a little blanket outside, drinking a bottle of wine. How cute.
So cute. You know what kind of bothers me about the last shot?
What?
They show us Pacey looking, and then they show Joey on the couch, and then they pull out again to show Pacey. They should have just started on Joey and slowly pulled out to reveal Pacey.
Yeah, they really wanted to drive it home. We didn't know back then how smart viewers were.
Yeah. What you watching?
I just watched Love is Blind UK. I loved it. I mean, I like Love is Blind, so it wasn't shocking that I liked it, but it just felt a little more wholesome than the US version. Like, people were a little more positive. They, of course, cut trailers and stuff to, like, hint at drama, but there wasn't a ton of drama. There was a little bit of drama. I really liked it. Would recommend.
It didn't feel as performative as Love Island US?
I think that's true. Maybe like one or two people.
Yeah.
And also, like, they've done now a couple of different seasons in a couple of different locations. But this one was good for me because, like, the Sweden season, for example, it's all dubbed. And couldn't get into that. But this one, obviously, I speak English, so it was great.
I binged all of Secret Lives of the Mormon Wives on Hulu.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about this. I don't even know what it is.
So I guess a few years ago, there were a bunch of moms in Utah, Salt Lake City, Utah, got famous on the internet, and they call themselves Mom Talk. So just a bunch of moms doing trends and whatnot. And then the one girl put out a TikTok, kind of like a tell-all confession about how her and a couple of her couple friends got caught up in a swinging scandal. They were swinging with each other. And since she was already kind of famous because of Mom Talk, it blew up and it got traction. And they filmed this show. It seems like they filmed a show around that time, around the time of her swinging confession. But most of the show, most of the series, it's an 8-episode series, takes place about a year after the scandal. Maybe they filmed a pilot around the time of the scandal and they couldn't really get it picked up or something. Because there's a 1-year gap between episode 1 and 2.
So there's like before and after?
Right after and like way after.
Got it.
Very, it's like Real Housewives, but they're all in their late 20s, early 30s. So it's very addicting, very, you know, tawdry. And
does it seem like there will be more than one season, or this is like a one and done?
I believe there will be more than one season. It kind of ended in an open-ended way, shall we say. My guess is there's going to be like a season 1 part 2 or like a second season very soon, because there's only 8 episodes. But just good drama. Didn't feel forced, felt natural. It's a friend group. You know, I feel like each of the cast members brought something really good to the table. And what I said, like midway, is for girls in their late 20s, early 30s, I just felt like they were very candid, honest, well-spoken, and highly recommend. Watch it all in 1 weekend.
Awesome. I'm going to have to check it out.
Well,
that's it.
This episode is a game changer.
It's so good. It is a game changer. And it's just, this is one to watch. Outside of the game changery ending and like where things are going, the dynamics are so good between everybody.
You better freaking watch. What are we going to drink for next week's episode?
Next week, we're drinking the Northern Lights. It is Yukon Jack liqueur, or it can be any honey whiskey of your choice. Peach schnapps, orange juice, and cranberry juice. Sounds interesting. We'll see.
I don't love a peach schnapps moment, but we'll give it a go.
Yeah. My grandma used to love, what are those called?
Fuzzy navel?
Fuzzy navel, which is peach schnapps and orange juice. So she always had it around. Makes me think of her.
Well, great episode. And next week, it's just going to get juicier, juicier, juicier.
Yeah, we're on a really strong trajectory now. And I can't wait for the rest of the season.
Oh, baby.
All right, we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, bye.
Bye.